We'll be in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 again. Continuing on with our cure for worry. Pat, I just noticed these overhead lights are on. I don't know if that's okay or not. Okay. Before we get started, let's go ahead and take a moment. Get in fellowship. For us, that means simply naming our sins to God the Father, and we are then cleansed from all unrighteousness, and we're able to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and get that help, and let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your amazing word. We're always so appreciative of everything that you do through it and in our lives. We see it every day, and we just pray that we can continue faithfully as Christian soldiers to move forward in your plan. We ask for concentration tonight, ask for clarity in your word, and just ask for understanding. Thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'll start reading from verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So last time we introduced the subject of worry, and it's a pretty broad subject, but I think we get a little bit of a dose of what worry is, how it affects our lives, and also the cure, or at least one of the cures. I know God's word has a funny way of giving us multiple ways of going about how to fix something, and this is just one of those ways. But needless to say, it is a fix. And if we pay attention, we can adjust our lives to that and then take that cure for what it is. I hope we're not about to blow up. If we are, that's all right too. And the reason this is such an important topic is because if you remember what the word worry meant in our verse, it was something that pulls apart. It divides. And this is important to think about because it's really antithetical to a healthy spiritual life. Because that's what we are as Christians. It comes down to what we think. And if you're divided in your thinking process, if you're divided from going from carnality to spirituality, that's a problem. We have to stay in unity with the Spirit. So when we think of division, we have to think about the spiritual life. And since worry always usually includes, allowing your brain waves to spend too much time on whatever you're choosing to worry about, that's that divide. That's taking your time, your attention, your focus, and putting them on whatever you decide is more important than the Word of God. So that's that pull. That's that pulling you apart. And it does just that when it comes to your thinking. So, and the reason it does that is because it pushes out the divine, the truth in your soul. It smothers it. It's overwhelming. As you all know, you've been there. You've been in fellowship. Everything's clicking along, and then that one thing will come up, and it will smother just about everything you thought you had within you. So not only do we have to be prepared, but we have to have enough truth and consistency in the Word so that we can adapt and be able to take that brunt force when that worry may seem overwhelming at times. And also, you remember one of the synonyms for this word was distraction. It's a distraction. Depending on what is going on in your life, our mind can be a distractor to us And that's why we always try to stay consistent, because we're so fragile as human beings. We get very distracted very easily. You know, something goes by that's pretty or colorful or in your life, there we go. So, and we can spend days, weeks, hours, it depends on the believer and how much they're advancing and where you're at in your spiritual life, but the goal is to get back where you are, get back on track. And I know you're all moving in the right direction, so it's not a question in my mind that you know where the path is. The question becomes, how fast do you get back to it? Because that's the question now for all of us. It's not where is the path, or I'm too confused where I don't want to go back. You're past that now. Now you're up to speed of getting back on the path. So Satan would be very pleased with your worrying abilities if you would just pick one thing and have it distract you for however long, weeks, months. Some people stay distracted their entire lives, believe it or not, on things, you name it. Whether it be a person, whether it be something in this world, whatever it may be, if it's not the Word of God and their spiritual life, that is distraction. That's distraction. And those are the things we have to look out for. Because as you well know, Satan prefers if you stay distracted. So, and you're well aware of that. There's not a shortage of things that we could worry about. There are some things that when you think of them, you can almost instantly worry. You know, we have those things that they're in our lives that, you know, if they pop into our brains, you know, we start to instantly worry. That's what I would like to focus on. What are those things, those big things that cause that fear, that worry in your life? Because we want to be stable. We don't want to be divided. And that's why our solution here, according to our verse, has to do with staying focused on the Lord. Staying focused on the Lord so we can apply this truth and not be distracted. See, that's part of the application, what's happening here. The application here is, remember, we were given an ultimatum. We can either worry or we can let that request be known to God. That was the two options we had. The application comes in on which one do you decide? Which way do you decide to go? That's the actual application. It may be very minor, but it's a decision. That's what application boils down to, really. It's a matter of, do we make the right decision at the right time? And this is no different. So just because your enemies would love to see you distracted from what you have in Christ, that is still completely in your hands, whether you are or you aren't distracted. We can be influenced. We can be, you know, guided down the wrong road, but it still boils down to your individual volition. We all have responsibility as Christians. I can't say it was, you know, bad company. It's up to us. So that's why also there's a command here to make your requests be made known to God through prayer and petition. And that word, request, is a plural. As you well know, God is infinite and nothing is too big, nothing is too small, and there's not too many. I know we think that a lot when we, you know, ask someone for something, we might think we're asking a little bit too much, so we'll leave them alone. This is plural. God doesn't say plural, and here's a certain amount that you can request from me. This includes everything. And this not only includes the negative, but it includes the positive. And what I mean by that is there's certain things that you desire as people, as individual believers, every one of you. Now, those aren't necessarily a worrying in a negative sense, but it still can be a source of concern and worry because you really would like to see that come to fruition. We need to make these things known. This is a request just as well as a problem in your life. It doesn't have to be a negative. It can be something that's in that gray area that may be causing you to think about a little more than you'd like. So sometimes we feel that, you know, we've asked too much. Well, that doesn't happen here with God. So at least I haven't found a verse that says we can burn God out from too many requests. If you can find it, please let me know. Psalm 24 says, "May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel." And that word counsel is purpose. See, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be that negative, that big problem. This is talking about your personal desires and purpose. He wants to grant those to us. So, not necessarily something you need, but you desire. And we all desire things, and not all of them are bad. Some of them can be very, constructive. It just might be a little bit farther out of your reach. But there's nothing wrong with letting God know about it, where you're at, how you feel. But the problem is we've got to leave it in His hands. That's part of the prayer and the faith rest. Make them known. So requests aren't simply talking about things you need to live or problems you're having in life. This can include your desires. So, and if you remember, we started this conversation, Paul led us here by saying the Lord is near. And it was very appropriate. It was appropriate because we're talking about prayer. We're talking about petition, making things known to God. And because now we're in a discussion about praying in accordance with God's will. And I think I beat that horse pretty good. We all have an idea of what that has to do with. Not just praying of things that I want personally, but thinking about God's will. Remember? There's multiple moving parts. It's not just a bubble around me in a prayer that shoots out this way. There's a God that's involved here. There's a Holy Spirit that has to control us if we want to even think objectively in prayer. And there's certain things that we have to know as believers, and part of that is your spiritual growth. If you're not in tune spiritually, how are you going to pray effectively? It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible to pray effectively if you're not doing what you're doing right now. Impossible. So, you just have to spend time with the person whose will you would like to know. And that's what we're doing. If you want to know my desires or what I would like, you got to spend time with me. I might cut you off pretty soon because I got to study. But guess what? God will not cut us off. He won't cut us off. He wants us to spend time with Him. So, and every bit of it is what? It's profitable to us. And it's usually so pertinent to our lives. And that's what it's all about. It's about finding these things out. What does God want? What does He desire from me? And that's it, kind of the exciting part about the Word. There's always something new that we learn that God wants us to know, that it makes us think, it makes us realize, hey, I didn't realize that, and I can tweak that, and I can pray in accordance with this certain scripture that was commanded of me. People seem to forget or maybe just not realize that God's word is different from any other book or advice that we have on this earth. It really is. Remember, we talked about Hebrews 4:12. It says the word of God is living and powerful. That's real. The word for living is life. It's life. It refers to being physically alive. It refers to life itself. So what we have in God's word is life in the sense that it gives us eternal life, it nourishes and provides in our spiritual life, and it allows us to live a life like no other. It's our life. It is our life. It truly is. So when it says it's alive, it's what allows us to live in a way that no one else has access to except the believer in Jesus Christ. And that's important. because your decisions are active. They change by the moment. And that living aspect comes into play into your thinking. Because remember, this isn't just a word in the scripture. This is the mind of Christ that we can take and think with just like he did on this earth. That's how he accomplished the ultimate mission that he was sent for. Aren't we all on a mission? We're here for a purpose. We're here to grow in grace and knowledge and serve in a way that God wants us to serve. We want to do what he wants us to do. Part of that is figuring that out, and all that entails is spiritual growth. Continue doing what you're doing. So we know it's alive because it changes us from the inside out. You've seen that. I've seen that. We've seen it around us. We've seen it in the world. We've seen it in circumstances. That's alive and powerful. God is in control of our lives, whether we realize it or not. He's in control of our lives. He's in control of the weather. Whoa, that's true. He's in control of life itself, believe it or not. So, I mean, can you imagine a world without the Word of God? We would have no direction, no purpose. The future would be unknown. We would have no way to know God personally. But that's just not the case. That's not the case for us. Remember, we've got his personal journal that he gave to us. His very own words. So, but there's actually many people who think just that way. And that's where we come in. There's a lot of people that are unknowing about God's plan for their life. Well, guess what? You know it. You have a good idea of what it is. Or at least you know where the source of it is. You know how to live it, and you realize that it's not just about what we do. It's about thinking. And in order to direct someone towards that, maybe we can encourage in a different way instead of saying, hey, just go donate to this good cause and be a good boy. That's not the Christian way of life. It's a lot more than that, as you well know. So we've got to encourage people in the right direction because we sure have a lot of that kind of thing going on today. So, but being that you realize the aliveness and the power is God's Word, we do have a reason to be thankful. And that's kind of where our verse is taking us into Thanksgiving. We introduced that last class, but just the fact what we have access to, what we just talked about, that's a reason to be thankful. And that happens to be our subject because remember, we saw that when we talked about praying in accordance with his will in 1 John 5:14, and then to pray and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That was 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And here's our verse. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So, and we talked a little about that, about praying in accordance with God's will. And now we're seeing that thanksgiving is the will of God. It's how you should or we should live our life. Notice it said in everything. And in our verse, it's singling out how we request. There's a difference in being needy or desiring and desiring or being needy with thanksgiving. It's a completely different attitude. Your eyes are a little bit wider open. You're thinking objectively. You're not just thinking about yourself in that aspect, in that matter. Because see, if I want something and I need something, I can focus on that and that's it. But if you're thankful going into it with that need, that is different. That is a very different attitude. And that's why this is injected with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Because we've got everything that we need, whether you know it or not. We do. We have every single thing that we need. So the fact that we do think we need something is something to seriously consider. Do you need that thing? Or do you need that prayer answered? Who is it for? Who is it directed to? What's your motivation in praying that? We got to ask ourselves these questions, because when Thanksgiving gets injected into this, it changes a few things up. It might change your direction on that prayer. And that's why it's so important that we have this Thanksgiving when we do pray. And of course, it said this is God's desire for every believer. So, if we are to pray in thanksgiving in accordance with His will, we should have a desire to do that. If He desires that, we should desire that as well. Because maybe there's some of us here today that are praying without thanksgiving. We've all been there. We've all done that. Sometimes we just need to get it reintroduced into our lives. There's nothing wrong with that. But thanksgiving is one of those things that it has to be on your mind. It has to be on your mind. And it will not be on your mind if you're not in the Word of God. It can't be. There's nothing greater than yourself if you're not in the Word. If you're not in the Word. The Word allows you to be thankful. That's the result of it. You've got no other direction to go, believe it or not. Because your eyes continue to be opened, continue to see the grace of God being poured out on you. I mean, what else can we receive from that? Thanksgiving. We can't top it. All we can do is give thanks and serve. That's how we give back, is we are obedient to commands, to the Word of God. That's our service. That's our thanksgiving. See, really, thanksgiving is actually a form of worship. Do you ever think about that? Thanksgiving is a form of worship, because if you have an attitude of thanksgiving, this is coming from your soul. That allows you to do many other things within that realm. You want to serve. You're motivated to serve. And you not only know you're motivated, you know that the source of what you're thankful for is not going to stop. And that's grace. That's the grace of God. And as we'll see, we'll look at this word thanksgiving, and we'll see that this word is definitely related to grace. Definitely. The word here for thanksgiving is Eucharistia. It's a noun. It's translated thankfulness, giving of thanks, or gratitude. And you see on the bottom, it means the quality of being grateful with implication of an appropriate attitude. And it kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's where we get our word for the Eucharist, Lord's Supper. It means to give thanks. So this word has to do with our attitude. Our attitude. Think about how important our attitude is when it comes to life. Your attitude can make a good day bad, and your attitude can make a bad day good really fast. So if you're introduced into your day with thanksgiving, see how we're not really in charge of whether the day is good or bad? If you're thankful, you're open. That's humility. Thanksgiving is, in a way, humility, because you're thankful for what God is doing in your life. And that includes the details. That includes the circumstances. That includes what's happening, what has already happened. Yep, we can be thankful for that too, the past. And that includes what will happen in your life. There is a lot to be thankful for in our lives. We just have to start thinking about these things. Who are the people that are around you immediately? That is not an accident. Those people are in your lives for a reason, and we need to be thankful for it. Every one of them. They interact with you for a reason. So there's a lot to be thankful for. And have you ever given something to a child and then thought to yourself, well, they didn't even appreciate that. That was the G-rated version. But you get the point. It's the same with us, but it's already been given to us. It's there. It's waiting on us. And see, God wants us to be thankful, because then what do you have? You have the ability to truly have capacity and enjoy whatever you have. Thanksgiving allows you to enjoy life. It really does. If you're thankful, you can enjoy what you have, because you don't want any more. Because you realize maybe you don't need any more. And part of that means you're thankful. You're thankful. You don't want to go back. You don't want to go forward, because you know God got you to this point. And He's allowing that heart to beat, one beat to the next. That's something to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. And the reason why children aren't thankful is because it just shows you that this isn't something we're born with. We have to learn how to be thankful. And the only way to do that is by ingraining that into them, is one way, but that's not going to last. That's temporary. Or by gaining it from God's grace, seeing what God is doing in your life through the Scripture. And guess what? One of those is temporary, the way you taught them. They may be thankful, they may say thank you all their life, but it may be temporary. The Word of God is permanent. That's a permanent thanksgiving, and it doesn't just apply to what you gave me and to that person. That really has nothing to do with it. It applies to the source of everything. It applies to the source. See, we're rising above, even above people now. It's the same thing as love, isn't it? We don't love based off the person. We love based on what's in your soul. Same concept with thanksgiving. That's a love that lasts no matter what. It doesn't matter what those people do. They can make you mad. You still have that unconditional love for them. What is this? It's thanksgiving. And it's not affected by life. It's not affected by what you're given, what you're not given. It's affected because of what's in your soul. And if the contents are right, the truth is in your soul, you're learning, you're growing spiritually, it just opens your thanksgiving up. It opens your eyes up to what we have. And it continues to do that. There is no other way to go. There's no other way. No other way. So this is from not from something you learned as a child, although that does help. That does help. But this is something that's internal. It's an appreciation of the internal divine source. And see, that thanksgiving also has direction. It has direction. It has to have direction. We can be thankful for many things in this life, but notice it always has direction. It's usually kind of superficially directed to the person who gave you something. And that's part of thanksgiving. There's nothing wrong with that, and I think that must come with thanksgiving. But that thanksgiving may go away. But if you have the thanksgiving, a divine thanksgiving, gratefulness, it doesn't go away. Because it's not based off what they gave you or what they didn't give you. See how it doesn't change? It stays steady across the board. Because what God is doing, you just didn't realize it, is He provided that person and He provided the gift. Not them. He just put them in your life so you could maybe be blessed. We need to think above. We need to start thinking bigger picture than what we see. Because this isn't going to cut it, what we see. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to get you through the thick at all. It'll fail you over and over and over again. It's all temporary. It's not lasting. It's unsatisfying. And the list goes on and on and on and on. This is where it's at. It's in your soul. So Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk. There's a command in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So there's a connection you should be making with this verse. We can see there's a direct relationship between your intake of Bible teaching and your attitude of thanksgiving in life. That's what this verse is telling me. And not just any thanksgiving, it's saying overflowing with thanksgiving. This is where we want to be. The first word in yellow, built up, this is a compound word, and one of the two words you're familiar with, it's oikotomeo, which means to build a house or a structure. Remember, this is where the doctrine of the spiritual house of the soul comes from. This is the building process that takes place, or edification complex, some of you learned it as. This is the process that you learn from growing spiritually that you build internally. But this isn't the word. There's a little word attached to the front of that. Epi. It's ep oikotome. So it's a little different. And what that does is it intensifies this word to not just building, but building something on something already built. This is you moving forward in the plan of God. This is the concept of doctrine built on top of doctrine. Not just a little bit here, a little bit there. It's a maintaining a steady upward flow of growth. Because any other way is not going to cut it. It's got to be daily. It has to be daily. The word right here is, that's what we're talking about. A daily building of the word in your soul. Not just a general building process as a whole, as the other word is referring to. It's intensified. Because each of us have a desire in our mind. As we start growing spiritually, we all have a desire for God, for the spiritual life, and a desire to serve. That's not going to be great at the very beginning. Remember, that's going to intensify as you learn more about God and what He's doing in your life. And the more you understand that, the more intensified you want to become. That's just the love of God. That's what His Word does to us. That's how powerful it is. It draws us in like that because it's doing so much in our lives, isn't it? It has such an impact in your soul, and by the time you can fathom what's happening, you take a look internally and you realize that not only is God solving problems with what He's given me through His Word, He's allowing me a way to be content and thankful in the current circumstances. Because before I got to that point, I was not thankful, I was not content, and I wanted everything and everything but what I had. Look, we all go through that. This is life. This is human beings we're talking about. And everybody does. You're all human, we all have a sin nature, but that's not where we want to be. We want to be content in where we're at and with what we have. Do you know how much easier that is to go through life with that attitude? It's contentment because you're not looking. You're not searching. You back up and you stop. And you say, wait a minute. God is trying to get me to see something very important right now. And I think it's to get us to see the attitude of thanksgiving. It is. And you won't get it until you get it in the current circumstances you're in. So you can't get an attitude of thanksgiving if you keep going beyond your capacity to maintain things. You can't get it. You keep striving, you keep reaching, and you won't ever get that attitude. You've got to stop and take it easy and keep growing and just watch what God does in your life. Part of that includes faith. It's trusting. Make that request known as well, because that may be a problem in your life. I don't know. Each one of you can answer that for yourself. But that may be a request. I'm not content. I'm growing spiritually. What's the holdup? Please help me in this situation, because I want to be right there. Your word tells me I can be there, and I'm telling you, you can be there, because it is a reality for us. This is something that we all should want to drive for, is this overflowing with gratitude, because it levels the playing field when it comes to stuff and people and money and everything else on this earth that you could have. You can be happy with what you have right now. That's happiness. It's funny, it's reversed though in the world. It's the happiness that's based on what you have. It has nothing to do with happiness. But that's what the world has programmed us to think. TV, radio, ourselves, that's what is programmed into you. It's about what you have. That's what is your happiness. There's nothing wrong with enjoying something, but what about already being happy while you enjoy it? That's happiness. Happiness isn't going up the steps to reaching to the next thing that's going to make you happy, because you got to keep going up those steps. This is staying on the bottom step, already being happy, and just the escalators coming your direction. You're just taking the steps as they come. See the difference? There's a big difference. You're not striving. You're not reaching. You're not running. You're staying put. That's a big deal. God wants us to stay put. He's doing a lot of things. We just have to be alert and aware what He's doing. So, and this word is also used in verses referring to our works, how we are building. Not, this isn't just the general spiritual house of the soul. Remember, this is the intensified version. So when the scripture brings this up, it's referring to how we're building. Not just building. It refers to how we're building. That's in 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15. That has to do with divine good versus human good. You don't want to be building for nothing. So not just to build, but to build in the proper way with the proper materials. And that always includes the filling of the Holy Spirit. It has to. It has to. Or this Thanksgiving will not be a reality in your life. Because that's the only way we can be correctly motivated. And these are the kind of things that stand up to testing and last for eternity between us and God. That's it. So, built up in Him. And then we have established, the second yellow word, in your faith. This word established here means to put something beyond doubt, to confirm, to establish. This is saying, if I tell you you're established in your faith, you have put the things that we're talking about tonight as your top priority. Top priority. No matter what. There's a lot of things that I can be distracted by. There's a lot of things that you could be distracted by. But it really boils down to how much do we want it? See, we can all look over the hill and say, yeah, I want that happiness. I want that contentment. But not until you get serious are you going to get it. Can't do it. You're sitting here playing around with all this fun stuff. See, you can still enjoy all that fun stuff. That's what you're forgetting. It's not going to go away. You're just able to enjoy it in a completely different mindset now. So don't just want it. Say, yeah, that'd be nice. No. Every one of you have been growing consistently for a reason, because you're there. If you're not already there, you're there now. Your eyes have been opened, and Thanksgiving is on our top of the priority list. We're not going to be reaching. We're not going to be running and striving. We're going to be thankful for every single thing that we have. And remember, I said last class, the good and the bad. There's reasons to be thankful for the bad. Just because we think it's bad doesn't mean it's bad. You got to think about the purpose. Why is it there? I'm always reminded of Paul's thorn in the flesh. Please remove it, please remove it, please remove it. God told him no. Why? Because he wanted him in service, concentrated service. He didn't want him getting off track. There's things in our lives that happen because God wants you in service. See, you've gone too far now. You can't back out now. You realize that, right? Y'all have all gone too far. And that's a good place to be. You want to be there. Because God, you're in concentrated service. And He's going to use you. So He's going to allow certain things to happen in your life that may be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. That's okay. That's okay. Because that just kept you right on track. See? You could have got distracted. If God wouldn't have had that in your life, you would have been distracted. You would have been gone a long time ago. And a lot of times on us, He has to double down on the uncomfortableness because we still want to get distracted. So a lot of times your suffering may be intensified as Christians. But look at the purpose. Look at the purpose behind it. Because you're in the top tier of service to God. Not everybody gets here. Not everybody gets here. Not everybody wants to get here because they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue what's going on. You're different. Your eyes are open to what the plan of God is. And it's a brand new ball game. It's a brand new ball game. See, there's so many benefits to sticking it out, sticking with the Word. We've been doing this for so many years, but it's got benefits. It has purpose. God wants to bless you, but He's waiting on us. He's waiting and waiting and waiting. When we realize that, we just want to get going. We should want to get going. I know I do. Y'all should too, because if we keep playing, guess what? Our time's going to run out. We only have so much time to be this concentrated, to be this focused in our life, in serving God, because it only gets better after you die. So you're going to look back and say, boy, I served. That's what we want to think. I'm not talking about before when you're a baby believer. I'm talking about now till you die. Serve. Serve the Lord. You're limited on time. This is saying that truth is your top priority and you are committed and established in it. And your building consists of divine good. You are a fruit-producing Christian. This isn't a Christian standing on top of the roof saying, look at me. I might not even ever know about it. This is producing divine good in your soul through your works, deeds, through your thoughts. See, your priorities have shifted. You're in service to glorify God, not people anymore. There's a big difference there. Things happen in that category behind the scenes. Things go unknown that people may not ever know about. That's glorifying to God. Maybe they will know. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But I'm just giving you another perspective. There's things that happen in the spiritual life that we never know about. I don't know your thoughts. You don't know mine. But we win battles through thoughts. There's battles won and there's tests passed through thoughts. We don't explain that to everybody. But that's big. That's a big deal. That's huge. Huge deal. Just as you were instructed to. So this is the result in an overflow or abundance of thanksgiving. And what that means is that you can look at things differently in life because your attitude has changed over the years. Your attitude has changed. It has. You spent building. You're building. We are building for a good purpose. There's times you can build, and you don't see a lot of change, but I want to encourage you, there is change if you just stick with it. Just because it gets stagnant, you think it gets stagnant. Because, see, you're just wanting the circumstances to change. But it's not stagnant. It's not stagnant at all. Because I believe if we would consistently apply, God would change things fast. The reason why things don't change, we get bored, we get tired, is because we're not applying the Word of God. We're not happy. We're not content. See, if we would apply 100% of the time, man, the sky is the limit. The sky is really the limit. God will bless like no tomorrow. But He can't do it because He's waiting. He's waiting on us to try to quit climbing that fence to get to that greener grass. We see that green grass. Man, that looks nice. And we can go see those four wheels and that shiny paint job. You want to go get it. No. He has something for you right here where you're at. Or maybe it's two wheels. I don't know, but it's either four or two. Not one. So you are now viewing or on your way to viewing life from an attitude of thanksgiving. Now this verse is referring to you are viewing life from an attitude of thanksgiving. And that's both the good and the bad, as I mentioned. And all that means is when you're overflowing with thanksgiving is your capacity to appreciate things in this life, because you've realized what God is doing and what He has granted us access to. And that's a big part of this. Is that's why thanksgiving isn't something we're born with, because it's learned. It's opening our minds to seeing what God is doing. What God is doing. And it makes you step back and say, whoa, okay, He's got real purpose back here. I need to take a step back and go reverse and not keep running forward, running this way. He's got something for me there. When we realize that, we become thankful for it. Because notice, if you stay in it and you stay there and you get relaxed and you calm down, He changes it. He was just waiting on you to trust in Him. On you to trust in Him in that situation. And you didn't do it for me. These things can last for a really long time. For some reason, there's certain things in our life that we're just not willing to just let go of. We've all got these something, whatever it is, we just have a hard time letting them go. And he's sitting there like this with his hands open. He's just waiting. He's waiting for you to let it go. We have to let those things go. Because remember, you're on this kind of plane. You don't want to get and keep hitting your head right here. You won't get past that part. You've got to break through that. And that includes giving the problem to God. Faith. Faith. So no appreciation or thanksgiving is a sign of lack of truth in the soul. I might add lack of application. You've got it in there. We just need to apply. We need to apply what we have. Believe it or not, you've been growing long enough, you have it in your soul. There is no doubt in my mind that it's there. But not only do you have it, you have to keep going. And you have to apply what you have. And this leads us back into the meaning of our Greek word that I haven't mentioned yet. And there's a reason I haven't mentioned it, but I think we need to see it, because you can never learn to appreciate in the biblical sense without seeing what the rest of this meaning is. Isn't this weird? We're talking about worry, a cure for worry. And we're talking about thanksgiving. No, it's not weird at all. It's not weird at all. There's a link there. There's a very important link to make between worry and thanksgiving. Worry is discontent. Thanksgiving is content. There's a big difference there. Vast difference. And I'm just going to mention this, and then we'll talk about it next time. This is a compound word, and notice it's two words. E-U, U means well or good, and then charis. Does that look familiar? Means grace. Good grace, or well grace. So, according to the word itself for thanksgiving, for the actual word, this is an appreciation for God's grace. That's what the word means, literally. It's the realization that God's grace is good. But before you can appreciate something, you have to first understand that it's there. And then you can begin to further that understanding by learning the scope of God's grace. We see more and more things that it touches. Everything, by the way. This is an understanding that everything we have is by the grace of God. And it's all for our benefit, good and bad, to get us off the ground spiritually and to live in such a way that is truly happy. So the more you grow in God's grace, the more valuable His grace becomes to you personally. Because you see it. You know what it's doing in your life. And you're realizing, what have I been doing? Boy, I wish I would have got on board earlier. That's how important this is. Its value keeps going higher and higher on your scale of values as we learn more and more. And that's accurate. Considering how much grace God has for you, you're only going to get higher and higher and higher, put a priority, a value on the grace of God. And along with that comes, that's the thanksgiving in your soul. That's it right there. Seeing, appreciating, knowing, being open and realizing God's grace in your life. That's it. So with that being said, well, that's a good place to stop. And we've got a little bit more to go in talking about thanksgiving. But at least we have a good idea of where part of the spiritual life is opening our eyes to God's grace. And that means you will appreciate more and more of what He's doing that will detach you from the physical and allow you to be happy in wherever, whatever situation you're in. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for just seeing that this is something that we need to get us to the next level in our spiritual growth. This is something that we have at our fingertips. You've provided it in your word. You've given us the ability as human beings to grow up and come to appreciate life. With all the pains and sufferings and difficulties, you've provided this internally in our souls that we can appreciate what you're doing in our lives. And we're just amazed. We're thankful for it. And we just pray that we can continue down this road and be happy, content, because we want to lean on you. We want to give our problems to you, and we want to be thankful for everything because we're commanded to. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.